Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14. And then we'll look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Psalm 27, verse 14, the New Living Translation. And then we'll look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, the New King James Version. Are you with me? The psalmist says in Psalms 27, verse 14, NLT, wait patiently for the Lord. Let me say that again. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Elder, God is speaking. Then Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, the New King James Version, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That's those who wait on the Lord. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to talk around the subject this morning, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're probably not going to finish it. God's waiting room. God's waiting room. Is there anybody in here this morning who likes to wait, or out there? Is there anybody in here who just loves to wait? I don't think so. It's true, we understand that patience is a fruit of the Spirit, but there's no one who actually likes to wait. Nobody. You can be honest this morning and look at somebody and say, I know I don't like to wait. That's being honest. Even though we're going to have to, I don't like to wait. If I had it my way, I wouldn't wait or have to wait. Now understand, y'all need to listen to me good. Understand that waiting has to do more with expectation, while being patient has to do more with a level of faith without predictions while you're waiting. Did y'all get that? Amen. Waiting, you know, the title is God's Waiting Room for those that are coming in. That's what we're preaching, God's Waiting Room. And waiting has to do more with expectation, while being patient has to do more with a level of faith without predictions while you're waiting. Listen, if we put the two together, waiting and patient, which is what I'm referring to in this title this morning, then waiting patiently, listen, is the ability to endure difficult people or situations or circumstances without giving into sinful anger, without surrendering to frustration. Preach, Pastor Pointer. Waiting patiently is the ability also to not give up hope. I'm gonna take my time and preach to me this morning. With that being said, the fact of the matter is every day we're forced to wait, whether you like it or not. Hello, somebody. Somebody had to wait for somebody to get to church this morning. I ain't looking at nobody. Somebody had to wait to get here What you thought was on time this morning. I don't want to start. You see, I'm looking out of space. Because some of y'all looking and gritting on people. I don't want to start no trouble. Sometimes we're forced to wait for things we need. And sometimes for things we just want. I did a little run on statistics, and I found out that the average person, y'all with me? The average person spends close to an hour every day waiting for something. Waiting for an elevator or escalator to go up or down, traffic lights to change, your turn to move at the intersection, you're waiting. Your turn to pay at the grocery store. You wait to get a cup of coffee. I was mentioning to my wife, I ran out to McDonald's to get some coffee. I went to get some coffee at McDonald's this morning. I was in the line. And you know, they ask you, do you have a coupon or something? Boom, boom, boom. No, I don't have a coupon, thank you. Okay, what do you want? And while I'm talking, the car behind me went around me and went up to where you pay. I was thinking and pondering, you know, about my sermon waiting. I said, Lord, gonna give me a good illustration this morning. Here I'm in front of this guy, placing my order. All right, I got hash browns with him. Somebody said, take you that long for coffee? Well, coffee and hash browns. They were two for $2.98. Y'all all up in my business. Sister Diane in my business. But anyway, I'm placing my order. I had to wait for the car in front of me. And when they moved out of the sound, y'all know the sound thing you talk. I moved up. And as soon as I start talking, the car behind me went around me. I said, you know, no wonder they have all these fights and crazy things going on. But, you know, people get shot and killed. And who? I just started thinking, Lord, you've given me a regular illustration of what I'm preaching this morning. And guess what? He went up in line and the people thought he was me and started talking about two hash browns and two cones. No. I said, no, she don't know. He ain't the one. And then he paid her and he went up. He got a little coffee. And I had to wait on him moving again. Wow. The average person spends close to an hour every day waiting for something. And when you add all of that waiting up over a lifespan, depending on how old you are, but if you're 70 years or more, the average person will spend more than 3 years of their lives waiting for something. Yeah. Now, I didn't tell y'all to go out here and start talking about waiting. Let me count up here. Let me put on my computer. Oh, let's see if pastor's right. I'm 30 and so forth. No, don't start that. But what we need to understand, the real problem isn't the waiting. It's what's happening in your heart while you're waiting. Y'all gonna help me preach? The problem really isn't the fact that you gotta wait. The waiting will reveal what kind of heart you have. What kind of attitude, that you have. See, waiting reveals for some people whether or not they have lack of control. Waiting will expose, or the way you wait will expose whether or not you're weak and vulnerable. For too many of us, waiting creates a downward spiral of impatience, frustration, selfishness, and anger in our hearts. For instance, while you're waiting in line, a person who has major problems with patience or waiting will find flaws with the person in front of them. Look at them taking all that time. They should have had that money ready. Look at them coupon. Now they dropping them all over the floor. Don't know what they're doing here. And then they look, got something under the car. Do you have something under your car? You knew it was in there. Get that stuff out there and put it up there. Yeah. Am I talking real here? Yeah. They too slow. Yeah. should have had that stuff ready. And I didn't say it was wrong, but it exposes how you respond to waiting. Or while you're driving, the car in front of you, because you're not going fast enough, will go around you. Or they get angry because I didn't run the light. Y'all ain't going to help me. People don't want to wait, and they get ready to slam into me. I done ran a couple of lights, law enforcement, listen, because I knew if I didn't run it, the car behind me was in my trunk. They was anticipating. I know he going to take that red light because it just turned red. People don't want to wait too long to be seated in the restaurant. I'm one of those. How long is the wait? 45 minutes. No, we went to a spot one time. They said 2.5 hours, 3. What would y'all do? Anybody waiting for 2 or 3 hours? Nobody? How long? 45 minutes? How long do you wait, anybody? Hour? Who said 20 minutes? 25 minutes? Well, some people just walk on out. Too long already. I remember one year, honey, you remember, years ago, we was at Sharon Baptist Church, and it was a holiday, and we went to get something to eat, and everything was packed, and talking about waiting 2-3 hours, we wound up going to a diner and went right in. Got stuffed roast chicken. It was good. Remember, honey, it was back in Lansdowne. Yeah. We was hungry, and I didn't want to go home and cook no bacon and eggs, man. I'd already ate. I was out. I was tired of bacon and eggs. I wanted something that resembled. It was probably on Easter that time. And I wound up getting, and it was good. Good. Waiting. People have a lot of problems with that. You know, some people who insist on being in a hurry get themselves in a lot of trouble. I hear somebody said, if I'd have known then about what I know about him or her now, I would have waited. Y'all ain't gonna look at me straight. If I'd have known how that Joker was, before I got entangled in a relationship with him, wait a minute, or her, let's make it equal, opportunity. I didn't find out it was a monster until at midnight when I finally got intimate with her, what I shouldn't have been doing. I thought I met an angel, and it was some kind of angel, but it was a demonic angel. Y'all looking at me funny. Y'all gonna have this going, I ain't gonna get finished this. But listen, in times past, before I met my wife, y'all ain't gonna get me in trouble. I used to hang out, party hardy, get high, and look for a girlfriend. Oh man, Elder, help me out. I was in the hood looking for a hood. And I remember times when I would meet somebody, you know, and when you drinking and under the floors, everything, and everybody look good. Yeah. And then Saturday morning, as I'm hanging out with my guys, a woman went by, and they say, "Is she looking for you?" I said, "Who?" I saw something. I don't mean no harm. Who? Ha! Now ain't no way. At nighttime, under the influence, everything look good. Everything. I'm talking about waiting. Sometimes you need to wait so you don't wait and make a big mistake. Who said you got to get married right now? Find out who you're marrying and what he or she is all about. And I've said this to women all the time. If you want to know how a man going to treat you, find out how he treats his mother. If he don't treat his mother right, if he don't respect his mama, what you think he going to do with you? If he tells her to go to Nassau, what you think he gonna say to you? Yeah. Some people, am I doing all right? Some people need to wait to find out who you're connecting with. And before I go any further, there's no perfect anybody's. From the pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor. Nobody that you can ever meet that don't have something wrong with them.
That's right.
All right?
Yeah.
Everybody got quirks,
yeah.
Issues,
yeah.
Flaws.
Yeah.
I don't care how good that man or how fine that woman is. Yeah. They got quirks, issues,
yeah.
And flaws.
Right.
And sometimes you don't find out what those quirks,
yeah.
Issues,
yeah.
Or flaws are. Until you get intimate with them. And oftentimes the way reason you don't know all of those details is because they're good at hiding. Some people are good at hiding and they don't expose. That's why they run out of church. Because if they talk too much, you might find something about them. So they run. They don't want to talk. It might reveal something. They hide behind a maze of twists and turns, a mindset of hide and seek. You can't find me. Ha ha. Some young people, don't want to wait until their life is in order before they have children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. In God's waiting room, you find out about the authenticity or strength of somebody's faith,
yeah.
In the Lord.
Yeah.
I got some news before I came out here to preach. Y'all see me get up. Do y'all see me get up? Y'all didn't see me saying, ugh. Y'all didn't hear me. I got up because it's some business Minister Presley shared with me, and it couldn't wait. And when I heard what I heard and processing what I'm processing, I said, Lord, you know I got to preach, but whatever I heard, it ain't gonna stop me from preaching. Because devil, you a liar. You was a liar yesterday. You was a liar when I woke up this morning. You gonna be a liar this afternoon. You gonna be a liar. Come on, somebody. Evelyn, he's a liar from the pit of hell. God is greater than that liar. Understand that patience or waiting is considered a fruit of the Spirit. Am I right about it? It's in Galatians chapter 5. Because waiting and the way you wait or patience reflects, y'all need to get this, I'm teaching and preaching. It reflects the transformative work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine, or it reflects how you need more growth. You know, all of us are at different levels of growth, from the pulpit to the door, ceiling to the door. What I might comprehend right away might take you, not because you're stupid, but it might take you longer than other people. I used to think I was dumb because I couldn't pick up some stuff like it seemed like other people. Anybody ever been there? Man, I guess I want to, you know, just like when I was in seminary and people were coming up with the Bibles. I didn't know they was on their cell phone getting answers. I'm trying to go from what the paper and the book said, and I can't comprehend all that booking. And I'm going, dang, they smart. Dang, he's man. And then I looked at the guy. He didn't know. You can see his desk cross the mine. He was that joker cheating. Got me up here feeling dumb. If he didn't look it up, he wouldn't have known the answer quick like that either. Understand, when you're under control by the Holy Spirit, it'll produce, we're talking about God's waiting room, it will produce Christ-like character in you. Am I right about it? You'll find out how much filling a person is when they have to wait. And understand, sometimes God delays his blessings to examine and to reveal what's in your heart and mind. That's the point of you preaching, you telling everybody this, that, and other. Crystal, let's see if you can preach and keep on preaching when you catch in hell. Let's see if you're going to keep on preaching when it looks like you on the downside rather than the upside. Let's see if you're going to keep on preaching and teaching when you don't have and you need and don't look like nothing coming through. Let's see. Let's see. I heard what you said. Let's see it. When you go out and preach in season and out of season, whether you feel like it or don't feel like it, whether you're up or down, when you preach, preach in season. When you don't want to preach, preach. It's my word. I'm your God. I'm your deliverer. I'm your peace. I'm your mercy. I'm your hope. I'm your help. I am who I am. Y'all want me to shut up? Talking about God's waiting room. We understand, you need to understand that God is deliberate and intentional about how long he'll make you wait for him to act or respond on your behalf. And he waits on purpose. It's not an accident. Anybody other than me wait in God's waiting room? Anybody in God's waiting room? See, it's not that he don't want to bless you right now. It's not that he don't want to deliver you right now or rescue you, but he's after a greater purpose than your immediate blessing. Oh, I'm going to bless you, God says, but just not right this moment. Let that sink in. God says, oh, I'm going to bless you, Minister Presley, but just not this moment. I'm going to let it sink in that you ain't going to never have to hear somebody else say what they know or how they know God blesses. Because when I bless you and let you be blessed, you're going to have a testimony. It ain't what I heard. It's what I know. June, God doesn't want to just fix your problems. He wants to transform you in the process. He ain't just going to fix it and you don't learn nothing from it. He's going to fix it after he's transformed you. Change your way of thinking. Y'all remember, give me a few more minutes. I have a few more minutes. In John chapter 5, y'all remember the story of the crippled man in the city of Jerusalem at the pool of Bethesda? Y'all look it up when you go home and read John chapter 5. In verse 2 of John chapter 5 says, Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Verse 5 says, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time to wait for healing. Who is God talking to this morning? Understand, the Bible says this man spent his whole life waiting for a miracle. The Bible says, y'all gonna read it, you better read it. The Bible says that he slept next to a pool where miracles regularly happened, and he waited for his moment of healing, but because he was paralyzed and couldn't move, somebody else would always push past him to get in the healing water first. Understand, when you've been waiting for so long and everybody keeps pushing past you, it's frustrating. It's easy to lower your expectations and give up hope when everybody else seems to be doing much better. Seems to be doing much better than you. See, when your blessing has been delayed for so long and your life has been defined seemingly by a particular issue, it can become your identity and your testimony of hopelessness and help. Yeah, God just don't seem to be listening to me. Yeah, it looks like everybody else getting blessed but me. I must have been doing some sin. I asked God to forgive me, but I guess he ain't forgave me, you know, because I'm still going through, you know. In other words, your fear of change or lack of change can discourage or cause despair. Do I have a witness? And if you're not careful to guard your heart, you know, be careful what you hear, what you say, who you listen to, what you practice. You got to guard your heart every day. You don't walk out of here with a heart open. You got to guard your heart. You don't listen to everything everybody got to say. You don't talk out of your mouth any old trash. Remember, Jesus saw this man and understood what was happening in his heart. Remember, I tell you, oftentimes it's a heart issue. In verse 6, of John chapter 5. I can't wait till y'all read it. Verse 6 of John chapter 5 says what some might suggest was a ridiculous or dumb question. Verse 6, Jesus saw the man and knew he had been ill for a long time. And guess what Jesus asked him? Would you like to get well?
Yeah.
Duh. 38 years. Y'all laughing.
Yeah.
Duh. You've been going through what you've been going through for you know how many years. And John chapter 5 verse 7, y'all listening? Says the man responded just like some of us do, with an excuse. Y'all ain't hearing God. Verse 7 of John says 5. He says, I can't, sir. God said, do you want to be well? I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have nobody to put me into the pool. When the water bubbles up, somebody else always gets there ahead of me. The lame, incapacitated man initially responded with an excuse, but thank God for Jesus, who looks beyond our foolish, car-limited thoughts and perspectives, and he sees our need. Just like he asked the lame man, he asked you and I this morning the same question concerning your particular problem. Would you like to get well, or do you want to be made whole? I've got the problem already solved. But I want to know about you before I solve the problem. Y'all missing this. I already got the problem dealt with. I want to know about your heart. Before I deal with the problem is taken care of. Are y'all listening? God ain't taking too long for he trying to work it out as a heavy duty job. He already got that. He want to make sure he got you. God is not a cosmic genie that you can call on him when you feel like it and then run and do your thing forever, Lord. Then when you get in trouble, come back to the church. And when everything get off, then you go back and do and get all dirtied up. And then when you want to clean, you come back to church. And then you pray for a little bit. And then you go back out and do the same thing. God, oh, no. You can't run no game on God like you're running on other people. Talking about God's waiting room. In other words, waiting for the blessings of God in our life can fill your heart with either great expectations or frustration and bitterness. I've heard some people say, don't tell me nothing about God. I don't want to hear. He let my so-and-so die. I don't want to hear from no God. He let my child die. You let my mother die, my husband die, my daughter, my wife die. Don't tell me about nothing about God. Angry. The same God that was in control of death is the same God in control of life. I said waiting can be a gift or a curse. And the choice is up to you. You can either see the light at the end of the tunnel as the promise of God at the tunnel, or you can see the light as a far distance as a sign of an oncoming train. Which way do you see God working? Do you see him as an out of control locomotive gonna run over you, or do you see light coming to save you? Somebody, I can't answer, which way do you see God, Pastor Porter, when hell breaks out? Is it a train going to cobble you down, or do you see the Lord? Oh, that's my Savior. He's coming. He ain't the Lone Ranger. His name is Jesus. I'm almost done part one. It's up to you. How you respond to the frustration of waiting. And if your waiting is based on God's promises in his word, I want to encourage you this morning to wait well. Y'all missed that. Waiting is one thing, but will you wait well? You heard him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Will you hear God say while you're waiting, wait well? Sometimes you have to do like David did. Maybe I'm going to close at this. Maybe. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, now David was greatly distressed. All hell had broke out in his situation. For the people spoke of stoning him. You know, the enemy came, stole the women, and pilfered the land, and fire burning, and all that stuff. And the soldiers turned on David. Like people always do, they turn on the leader. Yeah. When everything going right, they don't want to give him credit. But when things go wrong, it's all his fault. You know, you got all the answers to do this, you should have done that. Stuff that you don't even should have done, shoulda. You know. And David was distressed, 1 Samuel 30. And 6, y'all look that up. I'll give you a whole lot of Bible. And verse 6 says, he was greatly, greatly distressed. I'm reading the Bible. For the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But here's how David handled it. He strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord. That's a major piece there, y'all. If nobody else understands you, you got to strengthen yourself, Pastor Pointer, in the Lord. You've got to encourage Crystal yourself in the Lord. I'm talking about while you're in God's waiting room. I'm getting ready to close. Sometimes you have to strengthen yourself or encourage yourself, listen, all by yourself. All by yourself. It's not that the people are mean. They just don't understand. If I could do something, it would have been done. But God's got me in his waiting room. Yeah, yeah. Why did David do to, what did he do, should I say? What did David do to strengthen himself in the Lord and that we need to follow also? First of all, you must understand that strengthening himself in the Lord was a habit for David.
Yeah, yeah.
It just didn't start when the stuff broke out.
Yeah.
David had history of always looking to the Lord when trouble broke out in his life. Amen, somebody. It wasn't a new thing. See, it wasn't an every now and then thing. It must have been it had to be an everyday habit for him to talk to the Lord. Some of us, I don't know what to say to the Lord. How often do you talk to him? What do you usually say? Well, I don't want to tell you, but I'll never say nothing. Well, that's the problem. It's got to be a wake up habit when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Before your feet hit the floor, thank you, Lord. Some of us jump out of bed. Some of us roll out of bed. Some of us scoot out of bed. Some slide out of bed. I don't know what way you get out, but whenever, when you do get out, you ought to say, thank God. Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! When my feet hit the floor, when I push myself up, thank you! Thank you, Lord! Thank you! When you walk in the church door and the door's not locked and you feel heat, you ought to say, thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Don't worry about a trap. God's got that covered. He's worried about the trap in your heart. David developed a relationship with God ever since he was a young boy. I'm getting ready to close. Somebody said he was around between 10 and 18. You don't have no clear thing. But we say it had to be under 20. Because he wasn't a soldier like his older brothers were. And I believe you had to be at least, Reverend Pointer, around 20. Numbers chapter 1 verse 3 talks about 20 years old or older who are able to go to war. Okay? And whatever the case may be, from David's days of leading sheep from pasture to pasture, there was a prayer life of complete dependency on the Lord. And it was because of David's prayer life. I'm closing on this. If you got a shaky prayer life, God says, "Before I'm going to stop blessing you because you ain't even praying like you did. You start to think you're supposed to be blessed. But you're going to pray." Didn't Jesus pray? Didn't he pray and show you before he went to the cross? He was praying and was shedding blood, drips of blood, drops of blood. He was so stressed. I get stressed and I hope I never had to shed drops of blood. But my heart is in his hands. Where is your heart this morning, y'all? Are you a praying man? Are you a praying woman? You don't have to be old to pray. David said young people need to learn how to pray. That's why you need Bible study. That's why you need Sunday school. That's why you need new members class. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stop trying to say, well, I don't need to go to church to hear the word of God. God says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. God is about fellowship with members. Fellowship with other Christians. Stop using the excuse out there, I don't need to be in church. You don't have to come, but you need to be around other brothers and sisters in Christ, because Christ is about fellowship. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of God. God's waiting room. Give God some praise.